Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
The Successful Mind Podcast from home, and my guest today is Lori Harder. Hi, Lori. How you doing?
Hi, I'm so good. I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you. Okay, I have to ask you, how's home life? Working from home life?
You know, for us, it hasn't been that different. My husband and I have worked at home together for probably the past, it's almost been eight or nine years now. Probably eight. So okay. we kind of fell into a good routine, but, you know, there are definitely the times now where it's just, you're not leaving the house as much. So we have had to just have more conversations around like space and time and all of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a, you know, the first half of my career, I worked from home. Mm-hmm. And then after the kids left home, I got an office and started expanding that way. Now I'm back at home, and that's kind of like, I think I like the office better.
Yeah, you know what? I think so many people are learning so much right now about themselves and like their work style and what works for them. So before this, we had a team of seven people coming to our house, and they would work from our house all the time, every day. And while in the beginning, it was really good for me because it kept me on track, I have now realized that I'm a lot more creative and I feel like I just get more done and I flow more without them in the house. So we're actually now going, okay, when this goes back, we'll let them, and we're also finding they all work pretty well on their own. So we're going to probably look at potentially an office space where they work at home for a couple days a week, but then we all go to like a smaller office space. So I'm learning a lot. It's really revealing a lot about like best work styles, who works really well in what ways.
Right. Yeah. I totally agree. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about is you have something called a tribe called Bliss.
Yes.
Which I think is really cool. Like that is a fantastic name.
Thanks.
Where'd that come from?
The idea or the name? Or the book or the name?
Let's do both. Tell me the story.
Okay, so the book came from a realization of knowing that I used to have a belief that if I wanted to do things, I needed to do it alone. Or if I was going to reach a certain point in my life, it was probably going to be lonely at the top. All of these different ideas that I used to be told, especially when I was in the fitness industry and I was competing in different fitness competitions. And throughout when I started to do different businesses and entrepreneurship, I really realized that you really hit a glass ceiling when you are doing it alone. You really kind of reach this place where you can't go on without getting help from other people. And not only on top of that, growing up, I grew up in a bit of a restrictive religion, and it was in a really small town. And on top of being homeschooled, so pretty much just being like isolated from so many people, I realized that so much of my life was really lonely. And I didn't have those connections that make you feel really fulfilled and safe and supported. So I found that I was an extremely anxious person up until like my early 30s when I started developing like these groups of friends and tribes of people. Okay. And so that's where a lot of this came from. The idea of, wait a minute, we are missing connection, not only in our lives for fulfillment, but in business and in everything that we want to reach. I realized that there's this missing puzzle piece to personal development of, you can read the book by yourself, but you're really not going to get too far if you don't start creating those groups of people that are going to pull you through when you hit a wall.
When you first started getting into groups of individuals, mm-hmm. what was your learning curve on people in general? Because there's so many different kinds of people out there, different kinds of group, different kinds of agendas, value mm-hmm. systems. Was there a learning curve there for you?
Oh my gosh. I think whenever you're in a new group, there's a learning curve. And I think the first groups that you kind of put together when you're in the initial phases of hey, I get what this girl is saying. Like, I don't have a lot of people in my life. Sometimes we don't know how to attract the people that we want, right?
Right, because right.
It's like, oh, yeah, I want to level up. I want to do what they're doing. I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to go to the next level, whatever that means. Except we are extreme. We tend to shy away from the people who can pull us there because we're intimidated. We don't think we're smart enough. We don't think we have anything of value to offer those people. So we tend to go with the people who are probably going to keep us at the same level. We're all going to tell each other the same story about what we can't do. We're all going to, you know, be in the, we're going to all be saying the same thing, not lifting each other up. So there was definitely in my first few groups, a learning curve as far as I became really aware that I couldn't go to the people who just felt good or safe. I had to go into the groups. The next level was I have to get into the rooms of the people that I know are a level ahead of me, at least. And when I got in those rooms, let me tell you, it was like all of your stuff about your life comes up. It's everything that I, like all of my fears, all of my anxiety, like you, if you're in the right room, you should want to leave at some point. You should want to escape.
There's some real truth about that. Like real absolute truth. I remember the first time I went to a Tony Robbins seminar.
Yeah.
I wanted to run. I wanted to run out of the event. On one side of me, I was like, I can't believe there's this many positive people in the world. I found it.
Yes.
And the other place was like, yeah, I have imposter syndrome. I do not belong in this group of individuals. And I stayed, but I was very intrigued by it. Shattered my view of the world, but it kind of matched the view of my heart. So it was a very interesting experience. But I went through the whole idea of attracting the wrong people before finding out what are the values of the right people type scenario. So that took a little while. That's why I asked the question. Yeah,
I definitely did that, especially because when I first left, my story is kind of interesting in terms of being from a restrictive religion where I didn't associate with anyone outside of the religion. So when I moved out when I was 18, I literally left pretty much every single person that I had ever known or grew up with. And at that point, it was like the world was open, right? I was like, oh my God, I can be whoever I want to be. And I went to the extreme other end of going, you know, a little bit off the deep end and being wild. But what I now relate that to is I think that we're always kind of leaving a life behind. And there's that transition period where if you don't start making decisions before the leap, so before you leave that life, let's say right now, you know that all of the people in your life and maybe the business that you have or wherever you work, like it's fine, but it's not what you want to do. Like, you know that there is something so much bigger. One of the best things that you can do to support yourself is to start either joining some sort of other group of people who are at that next level or getting a coach who's going to help you get to the next level or creating friend groups or a book club or going to those events, right? Like the Tony Robbins events. Right. Making friends there, because there is a transition period where it's kind of do or die. Like, if you don't have people to pull you through in that transition period where you decide to create different habits, it's going to be too hard. You're going to end up going back to that life that is, yeah, it might be painful, but it's familiar pain. Whereas when you're taking a leap, it's painful and it's unfamiliar pain. And you don't, like, nothing is comfortable and nobody's helping you pull you through or tell you, like, this is totally normal. Like, these are walls you're going to hit. Like, just keep going. You're almost there. If you don't have that, you're going to keep going back. That's why there were so many Monday mornings. I'm like, I'm here again. I told myself last week I would not wake up, you know, feeling this way. I wouldn't be hungover. I wouldn't feel depressed. I wouldn't, you know, all of these different things. And it just was this vicious cycle because I wasn't changing my friend group. And it's like your environment is stronger than your willpower. It will always win out if you don't start creating a different environment for yourself. And I think that we create that through who we have in our lives.
Would you talk a little bit about what you just said was brilliant? Environment is stronger than your willpower. Would you talk about why that is? Because I see so many people not understand that they have to change their environment. I'd love to hear you talk about that.
Well, if we think about how actual willpower goes, like, you can wake up in the morning and be like, this is the day I'm going to look, like, let's talk in terms of even like weight loss. You're like, oh, I feel great. I have tons of energy. I'm going to lose that weight. I'm going to drink all that water. Well, all of a sudden you've made all of these decisions, right? We only have so many decisions that we can make before we get decision fatigue. And it's that idea of, especially if you're making new decisions, it uses more of your willpower. So when you're making new habits, all of a sudden you have all of these great intentions for the day, except 5, 6, 7 o'clock hits. And if you haven't created a different environment within your home, meaning if you haven't cleaned out your cabinets from all the junk food that you always go to when you're tired, if you haven't planned out what you want to eat or that you're going to take that walk no matter what at 6 p.m., because this is that place where you know that you get weak or you know what you're going to do, like, then you're going to go back to what you were doing. You actually have to look ahead and say, where in my day do I start to fail? Where in my day do I start to get weak? Where in my day do I start to get tired? How can I start supporting myself around that exact hour? What do I need to do? So for me, let's just say, because I was a heavier kid, my whole family was overweight as well, so we were on a habitual diet at all times. Except one thing we never did was like get rid of all of the junk food. We still always had it around. So it was like we'd be on a diet and maybe it would last 3, 4, 5 days. But all of a sudden, from being restrictive and making all these new habits and trying to do these completely different things than we normally do, Friday comes and we're like, screw it. Let's just order pizza and eat all the crap that's in the cabinets because it's accessible and we haven't committed to what we were going to do that weekend. Like, weekends are tough. We should support ourselves around it. Maybe we should plan an activity. Maybe we should plan a healthy meal. We should have it like set where we know exactly what we're going to cook. It would be like starting a business with zero business plan and wondering why you don't know what you're doing and you get frustrated.
Yeah. Was that a conscious choice for you to leave your home environment to get out of that and the religious environment?
Oh, yes. And it was probably the toughest choice that I've ever made in my entire life. But I know that that was my, path to take and also to teach on, because I think it's the exact same as what everybody else is doing in their life when they make a decision to start a new business or level up or break their family pattern, like to do something that's so outside of what is in their family norm or in their friendship normal day-to-day. It feels the exact same because there are parts of you that you have to leave behind and there are people that you'll have to, unfortunately, potentially leave behind or create some serious boundaries with, because change is really challenging for a lot of people. So it was a conscious decision, but it was also one of the most horrendous experiences. And for me, I had to do it in a way that, you know, because of religious things, it was a choice. Like, you have to make the choice. Are you in? Are you out? And, you know, what I talk about in the book a lot is like, some people might have to make that choice. Like, are you in, are you out? Like, this kind of life or this kind of life? Because sometimes our families can be also very black and white like that. Like, yes, they might not like what you're doing and you might have to make that choice. But I also show them what happens a lot on the other side, because a lot of times people end up coming around. Sometimes it takes a year, sometimes it takes 10 years. But I've had so many people, even just for what I've done in my life, so many people now, years and years later, who are like, you know, I thought you were this, that, and this, or we were so upset when you left or did X, Y, and Z, but now I'm so grateful because you showed what's possible. And that stuff can take a very long time, but you just have to focus on, for me, pain was a big motivator in the beginning. I don't think pain is a super sustainable motivator for years and years. But a lot of times in the beginning, pain can be one of the biggest motivators. And what I would do a lot is say to myself, if I stay, or if I don't make this decision, or if I don't start implementing this one discipline or whatever this looks like, what will my future look like? Like, I would fast forward 6 months or a year or 5 years or 10 years. And it was like, I could see it so vividly and I would let myself sit in that. And that would be a huge motivator for me for that day, just to like make that next best decision. And, you know, I can't even tell you how many times I felt like I failed in making those decisions, but even 10% more, or 20% more for the day still moves your needle so far forward. You don't realize what you can do in, you know, even a year. So
when you did this, when you made this decision, mm-hmm. did you have a big dream or a goal at that time? Or was it just you needed to get away from the familiar?
You know what? It's interesting. It was a little bit of both. I knew that I was made for more. I did not know what that more meant. I had a little bit of a vision with thinking that I wanted to be like some sort of like a Jillian Michaels or like on covers of magazines, because I was always very inspired by the fitness world at a really young age. I used to want to be a gymnast. I used to want to do personal training, like have a gym, different things like that. But I didn't, because the religion I was raised in was very much about you. It wasn't about education or things like that. It was like you were going to essentially preach about the Bible when you got older. Like that's what you did. So gotcha. For me, it wasn't there wasn't aspirations for where I was coming from. And I just knew that there was some sort of aspiration somewhere in there that was like big. It was big, but it was like, it would keep me up at night, to be honest. And I didn't know what it was, but it felt big. And I also know that I went through a big phase of like numbing that out, and it just got to a place where I couldn't numb it out anymore. It was like the pain of attempting to numb it out became even worse. So I didn't know what it was, but I would definitely have a lot of different dreams going on up in my head.
So this journey, so the idea of the A Tribe Called Bliss, the book itself, this is kind of a culmination of your journey then, mm-hmm. yes?
Yes, for sure. Where
is it going from here? Where are you going?
So from there, I pretty much realized that I was just like you in the wrong group. I just had those moments where I was like, man, if I stay here, this is not getting me anywhere. Like, I could start to see where their future was going. Because again, I had this ability and I don't know where that came from. I think that we all have it. And if not, I know that it can be taught.
Yeah.
To fast forward and say, whoa, this is going to go downhill really, really fast. And that's when I started to kind of start hanging out with a different friend group. And again, this is crazy. I must have, you're making me really think right now. I must have realized how quickly, if I change my environment, that I can change. Because from that place where I really noticed that this particular friend group that I had found myself in was going south pretty quickly, I ended up just completely moving again. I had called my dad and I was like, hey, this is the last thing I want to do. My dad's always been kind of the one that I was able to talk to no matter what was going on. I was like, this is the last thing I want to do, but I think I need to move home for like 3 months. And he was like, it's fine. You don't have to tell me what's going on. Cause it was really bad. There was a lot of crazy drugs in my apartment and I was just feeling super nervous about everything that was going on. Okay. And I was like, oh my God, this is terrible. And so he's like, that's fine. Just come home. You can help me. You can come work for me. And he did kitchens and bathrooms, and I had grown up like installing kitchens and bathrooms with him sometimes. So I was like, okay, after 3 years of living on my own, I like tucked my tail between my legs, moved into my baby brother's room that had dinosaurs like all on the bed, like these little plastic dinosaurs and the stars that glowed. And it was, and I had to abide by my mom's rules, which was like a 9 o'clock curfew. And like, I had to abide by all of the old rules.
Yeah, so if you're living in our house, you have to follow our rules, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. And I just found myself sleeping in my brother's bed, looking at these dinosaurs and like Star Trek stuff everywhere. And I was like, what has my life become? And I was like, you got to clean this up. So I was like, I don't even know what that means, clean this up or move forward, because I didn't have an education. I didn't know what to do, but I had these big dreams. So I thought, okay, what's always saved you? And I was like, okay, working out. Let's just go start working out and let's start like just figuring it out. Like, take it slow. Let's pay off the debt. Let's do that. So from there, that's when I started meeting some better people. Like, I just started meeting people at the gym instead of meeting people, you know, at work or at the bar, whatever that looked like. And wanted to start hanging out with those people and really started looking at what groups are like doing the things that I want to do, or who is the person that I want to be. And I didn't even know what groups I was looking for. I just knew it was opposite. It was just something where they had some aspirations and dreams and they wanted to start building a career or doing things like that. So I also met my husband in the time that I was back home, and he was very much like the complete opposite of anyone I ever thought I would end up with. But to me at that time, it was super attractive because it was like, you know, moving the other direction. And it just felt like the future in that would be better. But it took me a long time to even realize he was my husband. But with that said, I found myself in a much better group of people. I started looking into personal training. I got my personal training certificate. From there, I worked at a gym when I got a little bit older. Then I opened a gym, like just a very small gym. Then wow. I took that gym into a bigger gym. And from there, I had a realization that I could work these women out all day long, but nothing would change if, number one, I didn't change their nutrition, and number two, I didn't change their mindset. So that's when I got into personal development, is when I started to not only want to change my mindset, but also realized if I don't change their beliefs about their life or themselves, nothing is going to change. And then when I realized the nutrition piece, that's when I got into network marketing and said, oh my gosh, people who don't have a college degree can still make millions of dollars with this. And literally within 2 years, we hit our first seven-figure year. So it was like on year one and a half. And we just, like, it was the realization that I could let go of the old stories of I'm not smart enough or I have to do a certain thing. Like, there were other ways. People were showing me that there were other ways to have an amazing business, to coach people, to make unlimited amounts of money. And that was it for me. Like, the whole business world opened up and I wanted to help other women, not only with fitness, but I became a lot more excited about helping women with making money because I realized, like, a lot of the struggle was they didn't have time or they didn't have the money. So that's really when I was like, what if I gave them the money through a nutrition business? And then also it's like they have less stress, more time, all of the things to be able to work out. So it was really interesting how that got all figured out.
Was it inspirational for you to see these women transform?
Oh my gosh. It was the whole, yeah, I know you know this. It's what you do. It's like the driver. I was just talking about this yesterday with my husband on a walk. I said, in the beginning, you do it for you. Like, you do it to get out of the pain and you do it to like find some fulfillment, or you do it to feel proud of yourself. And then the next phase is to do it for other people for long-term fulfillment. Or it's just, yeah, there's not enough to pull you forward if it's always just for you.
So when a person gets to where they start making those changes, what are they susceptible to going back? What is it that makes them susceptible to going backwards?
Oh my gosh, everything. Everything is a trap. So as far as fitness or health, or just when you're moving forward in general?
Just when you're moving forward, like when working on that, when you're in that transformation stage, right?
Okay. Yes. Let's go here. So this is a really big factor that I talk about in my book, because it's not necessarily going to be from the people who are in your like second or third tier of friends. It's probably going to be from your front row people, who is your family, your spouse, your best friend, your coworkers. It's the people who know you the best, number one, as far as people, because it's scary when you start changing. It's scary because when you change, it changes their life. It changes their expectations. It feels, people crave, especially right now, we know this, crave certainty. And when they don't know how you're going to respond or show up, or if they can rely on you for all the things that they used to rely on you for, it is scary. And I've done this too. Like, humans we're not only freaking amazing, but I think that we are genius manipulators. We know exactly what to do, say, and how to be in order to try to control somebody that we love.
Right.
So I've seen this so much just in my life, and I've done this to people. We know exactly where to go and what pain point to hit to make somebody stop doing what we don't like. And a lot of times that is when people are saying, hey, I love you, but I'm not going to have time to be there for you. Like, every Wednesday when we would go out all the time and drink, I don't feel good anymore. Or I'm not going to be able to you know, go and take you to all of your appointments like I was driving you to before because I need more time for X, Y, and Z. All of these different things that we're going to need in order to go to the next level, we're going to need that support. We're going to need some really healthy boundaries. We're going to need people to understand what we're doing. You don't necessarily need people to understand, but we're going to have to let people know. We're going to have those tough conversations. And the quickest thing that someone can do is say, you know, who do you think you are? Or make you feel bad about it, make you feel selfish, make you feel like you're in the wrong, make you feel like cast out. They try to put different terms on you or whatever that looks like. Maybe they gossip about you. Well, you know
what
you.
I think they threaten the foundation of what that relationship is really about to begin with. Where you have the second or third tier people, you've reevaluated how you want a relationship. But with these people, you haven't because they don't have the ability really to reevaluate. So that relationship is at a different emotional level.
Yes.
And it stays there. It's like you haven't healed that part of your life. So they can threaten it. And that's a sneaky thing when you don't know that it's still there.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I did is I sat and I looked at my closer or family relationships. And I was like, there's an agreement here that is unspoken. There is something that I have agreed to without speaking. And I have to figure out what that is. And I need to learn how to have the conversation to bring it to light and potentially renegotiate it or be okay with the fact that they may not be able to renegotiate this. I may not have this person in my life for a while until they can see why I wanted to renegotiate the conversation. And, you know, maybe it's you've been tolerating someone talking to you a certain way. You've been tolerating somebody saying certain things to you or really taking advantage of you or whatever that is. And it's like, which part of this am I going to take full ownership of? That I've been letting it happen. And that's not necessarily, because it's not necessarily their fault, right? Like maybe you're showing up as a yes person. Maybe you're in your head, you're playing the martyr, but it's you who keeps showing up or you who keeps offering certain things. So I had to look at certain things in my life where I was like, what am I doing in this relationship? And how am I going to start showing up? That is going to be, you know, it's the beginning of those conversations where they have to be loving. You can't go to somebody who's been treating you a certain way that you've been allowing it and be like, this is how you make me feel. And this is how it's going to be. And this, you're going to cause World War III. Like, right. It's really about going and saying, just acknowledging that this is what's, you know, this is potentially what's been going on. Maybe they had no idea how it was making you feel. But you're wondering if there can be like a conversation around it. So there's some approaches that I actually write about in the book because I had never heard those conversations in my family or in my life. It's just like sales. Like the first time I learned about sales when I was at my first job, which was a cell phone business, I had to sell cell phones. and I had never done sales. I didn't know that there was a flow. I had no idea that there was a flow and that there was a way to close people. And if you have never done sales, you have to learn this. You have to see it. There's an art. The more that you do it, the better it gets. And this is just like communication with people. This is just like dating, right? There's a flow. Yeah. You can't go to certain places without having to go to certain places first.
Right, right.
So, so in the book, I talk a lot about conversations because I had never seen this type of communication. So if you learn a form of communication and understand that when you say this, it's going to make a person do this. You know, when you come at someone like this, the wall goes up, they won't hear anything else that you say. And a lot of times the initial feeling that we have, if you act from that place of anger or fear or judgment, you immediately are never going to be led into that conversation. So it's a dance and it's an art and it takes time to learn. And I think it's probably one of the hardest things that you can do in your life. But if you can kind of learn to master communication and the art of relationships, I think it translates. I know it's why we've been successful in our business, because talk about like managing people and then managing leaders. Oh my gosh. Like in the network marketing world, I've never seen anything like it. Like managing leaders was my entire day, like a dance in itself of learning how to manage big personalities who right. who are leaders and who are amazing. But it's really easy to want to, you know, burn that bridge or get, you know, be like, well, if you don't get this, just you get rid of people or whatever that looks like, but you can't do that. So
if a person is listening to this and they're thinking to themselves, I need to do that. I really need to up level the people that I'm hanging around. Mm-hmm. What are some tips? Where do they start with that process? Because I had no idea where to start with that process when I started thinking about doing it. And it was scary. It was really scary because I had the world that I knew and everything else I did not know. I didn't even know where to begin. So where do we begin?
I love this question. Not only, I feel like I keep plugging the book, but honestly, I wrote the book literally on that question.
That's great.
This is how I was like, this is where I'm at. What do I, because I get that question all the time. What do I do? How do I connect with these people? And we are so blessed, lucky, fortunate, all of the above right now to, number one, have social media. And number two, it's so popular now to do self-development. Like, there's self-development books at the front row of the bookstores now. Like it's very, a lot of people are highly aware of it and podcasts and all of these great things. So in the beginning, what I did is because I was still too afraid to kind of like go and be more straightforward with people or meet people or start hanging out with these people or go to events. This was the very beginning. So some people might find themselves here where they just need to start kind of surrounding themselves with it. So maybe they need to listen to a podcast every day of somebody who's up leveled. Maybe they need to listen to an audiobook, or maybe they need to take like a group coaching or something like that. So you're going to be put into different groups or a Facebook group. So you can start feeling this world out. Like, so it's not just like, you know, thrown into right. a room of like Tony Robbins where you're like, what is happening right now?
Exactly.
So if you're not quite there yet, like, I think, you know, when you're there, you're like, okay, I'm all in, whatever comes my way, I'm staying, I'm in it. We're going to do this thing. If you're not quite there yet, that's when you just want to start consuming higher level, higher frequency, higher energy things. So I did that for a while until I was like, I need more than this. I need like this, in-person interaction, which in the future we can do that. But for now we've got Zoom, which is pretty, pretty freaking amazing.
Right.
So next level of that would probably be like events, or I think group coaching could fall into this too, where you're on different Zooms and you're actually having conversations with people. You actually kind of have to talk and show up. I think that's really important. You want to put yourself in groups or masterminds or coaching or a book club where you now don't just get to hide behind your headphones or computer. Like, you have to use your voice. You have to connect. You have to speak up. So I think that's like level two. Level three, I say get in the room, whatever that looks like, whether it's an in-person event or a mastermind or something like that. And I think like even just Googling business masterminds, you know, women's masterminds, whatever that looks like, you will find something, someone will come up, and a lot of your favorite authors, podcasters, they have different things like that. Because once you get in those rooms, you cannot hide. It's pretty challenging to hide. Sometimes at events you can, but I always say, if you're going to go to an event, don't waste it. Make sure you meet at least like 3 to 5 people a day, and get their info and connect immediately after that event is over. Because it really is a waste, I think, if you just go and you don't even try to connect or talk to people. Not a total waste, but you know, that's where you want to meet your tribe. And then the next level would be to actually reach out like in someone's DMs or someone's email and ask them if they would love to connect, or a phone call. If it was somebody that you feel you would like to add to your life truly as a friend. And this is where it gets really weird. It's because friendships, I'm telling you, especially someone who had to make friendships in like her late 20s and early 30s, when like it feels like everybody already has their friends are set for life. And that's just, especially from the Midwest, that's kind of how it was. Like you had your high school friends and it was really hard to break in. So I moved to California when I was like, I think it was 31, and I really wanted a friend group out here. And this is when part of the book got its identity was from this part of my journey where I would message different people that I would see doing things I wanted to do. So I was starting a in-person event at the time, and I hadn't done it, but I started looking for women's events. And I started reaching out to the women who were running these events and asking if they would be open to connecting. But here's the thing. You can't just say, are you open to connecting? Because that is such a, it's like the person's definitely going to say no because they have no idea what you want from them.
Right.
And so you have to figure out the flow of this conversation. Number one, do they need anything? Because you always want to come from a place of what value could I give this person? Could I maybe say, hey, I've got a small group of women. I would love to share your event with them. Or we could, I would love to go to your event and bring 5-10 women. If I, you know, get 10 different women to go or 5 different women to go, would you ever be willing just to connect even via Zoom for 20 minutes if I could ask you a few questions? And say, you know, don't worry, it's just this once, or whatever your actual expectation is, please say your actual expectation. Because what happens is we all bring our stories into every single first meeting that we have. So, you know, I brought my story with me when I met you, David. David, you brought your story when you met me. Like, right. We have all of these different ideas about what we think a person is like or what they want from us. And if I had, if let's say I meet a woman and she's just saying, hey, I'd love to connect. Do you mind if I pick your brain? I would pull back from my files of the women that I've said yes to, who I've let pick my brain. And I remember that 2 hours later, I feel exhausted and they didn't offer me any value and that I did this over and over again. And now I have better boundaries. So I'm like, no, you absolutely cannot just use me for 2 hours and then I never see you again.
Right.
So, you know, I need to know what your full expectations are and I need to know what you're bringing to the table in order for me to feel safe enough to say yes. So this is in friendships, this is in business relationships. Like, I wanted to start connecting with these women who I write about in the book, and there were two of them and I did not know them like pretty much at all. And we were both doing, the three of us were kind of doing, bigger things in the world, or we wanted to start doing bigger things in the world. We were at that point where we were showing up, right? And we had all reached out to each other and it was just kind of like, hey, we want to be in each other's worlds. But we, I think one of the women had written me and said, her name is Danette. She had written, hey, I'm really looking for a group of people that we can kind of hold each other accountable. And I was like, I'm really looking for that same thing. Let's talk about what this would look like. So I had been a part of a 3-week Jack Canfield training, and he was talking about masterminds, except it was like only men were talking about masterminds at the time.
Yeah.
When I took this training, like probably 10 or 11 years ago now. And I was like, we should do Jack Canfield's like mastermind style. We'll meet every other week for an hour. We'll split our time evenly. You know, we'll make sure we hit this, this, and this topic. And that's where our mastermind was born, but it was about life and business. And so the whole book is actually based on this exact format. So it's formatted to teach you how to reach out to people, to ask them if they would want to be a part of a group that holds each other accountable to whatever. So I've got scripts in there that teach you how to ask, because I didn't know how to ask either. I had to get, you know, 50 DMs that said like, what, that either ghosted me because I wasn't being specific,
yeah.
Or that gave me feedback until I learned how to actually craft these different messages of people to finally get them to say yes, essentially the close. And it's just like sales, right? I'm like, how do I close my friendships? How do I get a woman on the phone or someone to see if they want to hang out? Or, you know, what's the mutual interest that we share? And what's the equal energy exchange that we can find together so that we're both adding value and making sure this doesn't ever take away from our life and that we're both agreeing, right? Creating agreements that feel mutually good to both of us going into the relationship like that. And also making sure we use language that says, hey, if we forgot an agreement and we notice something is going on, that maybe some conflict or something that doesn't feel right, can we be open enough to create a new agreement so that we can continue on with this relationship? Yes. So, and that was powerful for me because I found coming from the Midwest, there's kind of there's a funny phrase that we all use back there, especially as women, that we're very passive aggressive. And it's like, we'll say one thing to your face, but then we don't like it. We never actually tell each other what we're thinking or feeling. And that can be huge among, you know, different relationships. I see it a lot. especially in women, just in my realm of how I grew up. And if you don't give yourself permission to learn how, like permission to talk about things when they change or don't feel good from the very beginning, a lot of times it will turn into resentfulness and you guys will end up like splitting apart or not talking for a reason that is completely different for both of you that you'll never ever find out. So this has been huge, even for that group that I've been doing this mastermind with now for the past, I think it's been five years now. And even though they're the most amazing women that I have in my entire life, because we meet every other Tuesday for 1 hour, and we've done this forever, even though they've been like my best friends in the whole world, you still get things that come up, right? Like maybe someone says something, you take it the wrong way, or maybe you're upset with a certain thing that came out. Like if we didn't have it in place that we're allowed to talk about that or whenever we feel it to bring it up, then we would have been long gone already. Yeah. Because it's just like a marriage or a relationship. Like if you're going to keep sweeping things underneath the rug and not saying it, I just heard someone say pretty soon that rug is not big enough. It's just going to, it's going to explode all over the place. So
it is. And there has to be room for conflict.
Yeah.
Because there's no growth without conflict.
Oh
right.
My God. Chris is my husband. We say we have some form of conflict every single day. But what we do is we have created a space where we actually bring all of our conflict for the day or resentfulness or something that came up. But we do it in a really loving way. But we go for a walk every single day. We've done this just about every single day since we've been married, which has now been 14 years. And that is our space to say anything that we're excited about, that maybe kind of bothered us throughout the day, different languaging. Maybe it was like he was short with me or I was short with him, or maybe I said something that offended him. And it's not like every single day, but when you work together, it's a lot of days, you know? Right. And they're usually very short, but we always say, I would rather have a flare up, like a match. I would rather have a matchstick and a fire, like a small matchstick fire, and blow that out every single day than let that go and have a raging forest fire, even in a few days, because it builds really, really fast. So we always think like, what are the lit matchsticks for me today that you need to like keep blowing out and just getting rid of?
I love that. Yeah, that's really good. And I just want you to know that like I want everybody that's listening to this to buy your book because I think that it like there's not much that I have seen, and I've been in this industry for a long time, that teaches what you're teaching about tribe and how to put communities together and find your people. Not in a way that you have a unique way of doing it. You really have a unique way of coming to that topic. So like, where do they get this damn book? Where do we go to get your book?
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. That means the world to me. I had fun putting it together and it was really hard. you can get the book on Amazon. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it anywhere books are sold. Otherwise, you can just go straight to my website, lauriharder.com, and you can get it there.
Okay. Yes. The idea of a book is very inspirational and then you have to write it.
Oh, I was like, oh, this is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And it was amazing, right? I learned so much, but the low days, those are some tough days, man.
They are. They seriously are. Like every time I sit down and try to write another book and I get really frustrated with it, I think to myself, how are there prolific authors that like do this and they bring genius, like they have masterpieces that come out of this. It's like, okay, maybe I just better stick to speaking and forget the book. Know.
I feel you. I just recently sat down to try to write another book and I had this day where, you know, where you're just like genius strikes and you feel so connected and it's amazing. That was the only day. It never came back after that. So I have one chapter after like 2 months. So there you go.
where are you going in your career? Where are you headed?
You know, this is such a fun question. And this is a whole other podcast, but I'm going to summarize it quickly. There is no chapter that is wasted in your life. Sometimes we're in these chapters that you feel like, what the hell is this? Or this is so hard, or why is this relationship sucking? Or this is the worst thing ever. Or this is interesting. Why, what, this is a waste of time. Why am I in this job? You're just really trying to figure out why. But I love that Steve Jobs quote. I think it's, you can only connect the dots looking backwards.
Absolutely.
And I'm just in that place of awe right now, to be totally honest, because last year I had hit a place I never thought I'd hit. And it was where all of my dreams had come true, like for my whole life. So wow. when I look back at being a kid, I'm like, I've done so much more things than I ever imagined for my life. And I had, you know, and I'm so grateful I get to say that. But from that same place, hope has always been my driver. And when you have put the book out and you've done the events and you've reached, you know, like I've done different fitness covers. I'm like a fitness world champion, all of these things that I never thought would be possible. I felt I was at a really hopeless place going, I don't know what's next for me. I don't know if you've ever experienced that where you're like, I don't know next. I haven't allowed myself to dream past this. And there was 6 months where I was like, I was having trouble getting out of bed, and that is not like me. I felt really depressed. Like I felt a bit of my anxiety coming back, almost like, I don't know what even up looks like from here. And I don't know who I am, because I'm not feeling as fulfilled by doing the things I've done in my past. So with that said, realizing that you're blessed, but also feeling this way can actually make you feel more depressed because you feel like a jerk because you don't want to tell anybody that you feel this way.
Right.
So I was kind of like struggling in silence of going, I feel really hopeless and I don't know what this is. And one night I shared with my husband and he's like, you haven't like let yourself dream. Like you got to just spend time like knowing that this is a great spot to just be at for a while, but then open it up, like just let her rip. So we would go on these walks where I would ask myself, if I had all the money in the world, all the time in the world, and I could do literally anything that I have ever wanted, like be anyone, do anything, what would that be? And I just played in that question over and over for months. And what kept coming up was, I want to start like a champagne company or an alcohol company or something like that for women, that connects women, that gives back to women. And I was like, oh God, that's so stupid. Like I was in fitness, I was in personal development, and now I'm going to start an alcohol company. Like, what are people going to say? Like, that's what I was thinking. And so 6 months goes by and I can't shake it. And now I'm like getting excited because I'm thinking about how fun it would be to be able to go sponsor these events and talk about it and show women about funding and crowdfunding and investing and like the design part and like just the lightness and the fun of it, right? Because I feel like I would been in the like heaviness for a long time.
Right.
And so that's what I'm doing now is I'm starting an alcohol company because the whole thing is based on connecting women. Because when I put my book out, I had grand visions of it selling millions of copies. It still did wonderful. It sold 50,000 copies, but I kept going, where are the women? Like, all that women tell me is that they want to connect and they want to go deeper, but they didn't. I gave them the exact tool, but I feel like where are they all? Like, this is what they were asking me for, like to connect deeper and get these women in their life and these tribes. And I was like, oh, I'm asking women who don't really, they don't read a lot of books. It's not their main thing. It's like kind of intimidating to go and start these like really in-depth groups. I was like, where are they at? And I'm like, they're having happy hours. They're having cocktails. I need to meet them there. So the alcohol company gives back to women. It has questions on the can. It says, ask a better question, get a better answer. And it has three guiding questions. It's connect, collaborate, celebrate are the guiding principles of the can. It makes you just say, I really believe that you're like a few better questions from every single answer or connection that you need. So that's what it's all about. And we're starting a community right now. It's super, super fun. Like we're just having so much fun with it. Plus it's light. It tastes great. It's something that is not really on the market yet because it's like a very light, somewhat like flavored champagne with only 1 gram of sugar.
Can you say what the name is yet?
Yeah. It's called Light Pink.
Light Pink.
Mm-hmm. So it's total 180, but I am like, I'm the most excited I've been over anything. And now I can see why I've done all of it. So from the fitness background to the network marketing background to, you know, the just personal development to connecting women. So I'm really excited. I'm using all of it.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I wish you all of the best. I can't wait to be on your podcast. We're going to have a blast. And thank you so much for sharing everything today, because I think people are going to get a lot out of it. And I'm going to tell everybody about your book constantly. Mm. So I hope we sell a lot.
Oh, thank you so much. And I can't, you guys, I cannot wait to have you on my podcast. And I've been I literally just listened to one podcast of yours not too long ago. And I was like, okay, this is amazing. I'm hooked. This guy's incredible. So I couldn't wait for this conversation today. And I can't wait for that one. So thank you so much for this. I had blast. The hour flew, and I'm super grateful for you and everything that you do.
Same. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.